This is CPX number 16, the Creed 3.2, Mary the Mother of God. Hello, my name is Father David Nix. This is CPX, Catechism of Pope St. Pius X. We're on number 16. If you have this version, we're on page 19, questions 9 through 13. Last part of the third section of the Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Question 9 takes a little bit actually from our Lord before we get to Our Lady. Question number 9, did Jesus Christ possess free will? Answer, yes, Jesus Christ possessed free will, but he could not do evil since to be able to do evil is a defect and not a perfection of liberty. Question number 10, are the Son of God and the Son of Mary one and the same person? Answer, yes, the Son of God and the Son of Mary are one and the same person, that is, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Question number 11, is the Blessed Virgin the Mother of God? Answer, yes, the Blessed Virgin is the Mother of God because she is the Mother of Jesus Christ, who is true God. Question number 12, how did Mary become the Mother of Jesus Christ? Answer, Mary became the Mother of Jesus Christ solely through the operation and power of the Holy Ghost. Question number 13, is it of faith that Mary was always a virgin? Does that mean, is it de fide, defined, infallible? Answer, yes, it is of faith that the Most Holy Mary was always a virgin, and she is called the Virgin of Virgins. Thus are the words of the Holy Pope. Let's go backwards here. Is it of faith, is it de fide, that Mary was always a virgin? Yes, Mary was virgin before the birth of Jesus, during the birth of Jesus, and after the birth of Jesus. Let's talk about number 11. Is the Blessed Virgin the Mother of God? Answer, the Blessed Virgin is the Mother of God because she's the Mother of Jesus Christ, who is true God. And actually, in union with that, I'm also going to answer question number 10. Are the Son of God and the Son of Mary one and the same person? Yes, the Son of God and the Son of Mary one and the same person, that is Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Now, you might remember from last time I mentioned Cardinal Newman has said no doctrine is defined until it's violated. Council of Chalcedon was one of those things. You might remember BCDS, Boston College Dining Services, or the two natures of Christ exist without blending, change, or division or separation. But Chalcedon also speaks of Christ being, quote, of one substance with the Father in his divinity and of one substance with us in his humanity, close quote. Pope Leo the Great went so far as to say that Christ was one in substance with the Mother. No doctrine is defined until it's violated. Let's look at Ephesus around the year 430. Now, Nestorius, who we discussed last time, maybe wasn't a bad guy, but he was a heretic on some things. We talked about him on CPX, and he taught, besides what we talked about on the last CPX, he also taught that the Virgin Mary should be called the Christotokos. That is Greek for birth giver of Christ. But he didn't like this idea of calling her the Theotokos, the birth giver of God. Notice those two different things, Christotokos, the birth giver of Christ, and Theotokos, the birth giver of God. So is Mary the birth giver of Christ or the birth giver of God? Well, of course, Mary was not pre-existent, so the first sounds correct, right? Well, the problem with that theology is that the Son of God was a single divine person, and Mary couldn't be the mother of a nature. You can't just give birth to a nature, not to the other nature. You can only be the mother of a person. And since God the Son was born in time to the Virgin, she's actually Theotokos, the birth giver of God. Now again, that doesn't mean she was around before God. That doesn't mean Mary was pre-existent, because even though Jesus was born in time, God the Son, who is Jesus, God the Son is eternal. Mary is not eternal. But we can't say that that one nature of Christ, his human nature, was just born to her. No, it really is that miraculous that God was born to the Virgin. So Nestorius was wrong. In fact, Ephesus infallibly declared, if anyone does not confess that Emmanuel is God in truth, and therefore that the Holy Virgin is the Mother of God, for she bore in a fleshly way the Word of God become flesh, let him be anathema. That means cut off or condemned. In fact, after this declaration, there was celebrating in the streets in modern-day Turkey and I think other places of the Roman Empire. Now, can you imagine with all the rioting going on today in rejection of our past, pulling down all these statues and stuff, can you imagine a day when people would be celebrating in the streets that Mary was reaffirmed as the Mother of God? How glorious would that day be? And to be clear, it was reaffirmed, as I just said. The people already had called her Mother of God for centuries before Ephesus corrected Nestorius. But again, no doctrine is defined until it's violated. The apostles knew this. The apostles knew Mary was the Mother of God. But around the year 430, it was good to bring forth publicly what was in the heart of every good Christian. Mary was the Mother of God. I remember about 15 years ago when I was watching EWTN, Father Gershell was on, and he talked to a big African-American Baptist church. And I can't remember if it was in Jersey or the South. But Father Gershell asked all the people, was Mary the Mother of God? And all of the people in the front shook their heads. But all of the pastors and their animators, those are the big guys with their suits and ties on who were all lined in the back for his talk, they were all nodding their head. They had all been to seminary. Now, granted, it was a Protestant seminary, but the Protestant seminaries still teach the Christological councils of the early church, at least the first several hundred years of infallible councils. So again, they knew Ephesus. They knew you couldn't be the mother of a nature. You can only be the mother of a person. And those big Baptist guys knew that Christ is a divine person. And if Mary can only be the mother of a person, not the mother of a nature, then Mary's the mother of God. True story from Father Gershell there. Now, Mary's not God, of course. Of course, Mary's not God. But all the elect, all those that make it to heaven, become partakers in the divine nature, just as it says in 2 Peter 1. And we have different levels of glory. Each saint has a different level of glory in heaven, as star differs from star in splendor, just as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. So Mary is the cleanest and purest and most spotless mirror of God on earth, like a giant mirror of the sun here on earth. I remember once after college, I was helping my buddy move in here to Denver, and he was in the U-Haul, and I was out of the U-Haul with this 6-foot-long mirror, and I thought it'd be funny. Maybe I was 20 meters from him, and so I just turned with this 6-foot mirror on this sunny day in Denver and reflected the sun in his eyes, and he basically fell back into the U-Haul, kind of laughing, but it really did blind him. So a mirror is never the source of its own light, but Mary, again, was the most perfect mirror of God on earth. So let's go with this giant mirror of the sun idea. She's not the sun, but how perfectly does Mary reflect God? How perfectly does Mary reflect God? Two things I want to tell you. Now, Lapide didn't have genetics, but he admits in his book that Mary gave all of what was necessary physically for Christ to be born, since the Holy Spirit has no body. But now that we know genetics, isn't this interesting? Saying that all of Jesus' genome came from Our Lady. So there you have a genetic fact, how Mary is this perfect mirror of the Son. Now let's talk about Mary's relationship to the Holy Spirit. This week is the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe in the new calendar, and before he lived, Mary appeared to St. Bernadette in Lourdes, and she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Now theologians were confused at this because they thought she should have said, or would have said, or could have said, "I was immaculately conceived." Why did Mary say, "I am the Immaculate Conception"? Now, of course, before Kolbe was a great Marian theologian, the church had already ruled that this was a true apparition. So they didn't really have to question, okay, Mary said it, "I am the Immaculate Conception, we believe her." But Kolbe tried to get his mind around this for a long time. Now, as a good Franciscan, he knew the theology of the Trinity. The theology of the Trinity is that in eternity, the Father engenders the Son, and the Son receives this love, and the love that exists between the two of them in eternity is this spiration, the eternal Immaculate Conception of love, which is the Holy Spirit. St. Maximilian Kolbe knew this. Now, fast forward to the day that he was arrested by the Nazis, sent to the death camp that eventually took his life. The very day that he was arrested, it dawned on him. They found his journal later of the day he was arrested, and he made this connection between the eternal Immaculate Conception, who is the Holy Spirit, and Mary, who's the temporal Immaculate Conception. Here's what he discovered. As I said earlier, Mary is this earthly mirror of the Holy Spirit to the degree that they share a name, the Immaculate Conception. Who else shares a name? Spouses do. But that's more than a word game. Think about it. As the Holy Spirit is not a creation, of course, the Holy Spirit is not a creation because it's God the Holy Spirit, but he still is the eternal spiration of love of the Father and the Son, conceived in eternity, as it were, and of course equal to the Father and the Son. Now, of course, Mary is not equal to the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, but she is the temporal Immaculate Conception. That is the most perfect work of love. That's why we can call the Holy Spirit the eternal Immaculate Conception and Mary the temporal Immaculate Conception. In fact, how perfect of a work of love is she? So perfect that St. Bonaventure went so far as to say, God could make a bigger world or a wider sky, but he could not raise a pure creature higher than Mary. Please say an Our Father for me, et benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.